We continue our learning. Lili Nishmas David ben Menachem Rishon Chav Yaakov ben Pinchas Olayu. We are in Sot to Perek Zayin Mishnah Hey Brachos Uklolos Ketzad. Here the word Ketzad means what it usually means. How do we understand what happened with the Brachos Uklolos that Har Grizim and Har Evil? Ketzad in the previous Mishnah meant was a unique in explanation, which meant Chalitza Ketzad Mikra Bikurim Ketzad. Mean what's the source of that? That it has to be done in Hebrew. Here Brachos Uklolos, we already know it has to be done in Hebrew. We mentioned this already. The fact that the Brachos Uklolos that we'll learn from Gzeirah Shavah, Kol Mi Moshe. Just like it says, the Levim answered Kol Ram, and when it comes to Moshe, we have the word Kol on Matan Torah, just like Matan Torah was in Hebrew as Lashon Kodesh, so too the Brachos Uklolos were recited at Har Evel and Har Grizim in the Lashon HaKodesh. But now we want to know what happened. Brachos Uklolos Ketzad, what exactly was the story? So the Mishnah explains exactly what happened. Kevon she of Risel Sayardain Uva Uel Hargizim El Harevol Shebishomron Shebisad Shem Shebe Etzel Elone More. So once the Jewish people passed over the Yardain, this is discussed in Sefer Yoshua. Although in Parshas Kisavo we speak about the Brachos Uklolos, nonetheless they didn't really happen till they crossed over the Yardain. And they came to Shomron, where Hargizim Harevol in Shomron, which is near Shechem, near Elonei Moresh, and Amar. Halo Hema Bever Hayardain. Ula Halanu Omer Vayavor Avam Baret An Mekom Shechem Ad Elon Moresh. Ma Elon Moresh. So they, it says, Halo Hema Bever Hayardain Achari Derech Mevo HaShemesh Beret Chani Mular Eitzel Elonei Moresh. So we mention Elonei Moresh, and we know Avram passed. Vayavram Baret An Mekom Shechem Ad Elon Moresh. So although in Sefer Devarim, it doesn't mention that Elon Moresh is next to Shechem, but when it comes to Avram, it does. So Ma Elon Moreh Ha'amur LaHalon Shechem. Just when it comes to Avram, we know Elon Moreh is near Shechem. Af Elon Moreh Ha'amur Kan must be Shechem. So that's how far that they went. Now this was a little bit of a trip. Because if indeed they crossed over the Yarden, and this all happened on the same day, Acharei Derech Mevo HaShemesh, far from the course of the sun rising, so that's obviously a certain distance from the eastern border of Canaan. And the Gemara discusses on Daf Lamed and Gimel that the place where they went, crossing the Jordan, was about 60 mil. 35 to 45 miles from where they were. And they did this all on one day, and they came back on the same day. So that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is obviously expressed in our Mishnah. Though Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion it's not true, that when it says, Acharei Derech Mevo HaShemesh, Beretz Kahakanani, etc., this is far from the western border of Canaan. It means on next to the Yarden. And what it means is they weren't going far from the eastern border where they were. It's far from the western border, meaning they were right where they were. This was not a very far trip. And when it's discussing the pasuk then discusses Eitzel Elonei Moreh, etc., it's not giving you the geographical location of Har Grizim and Har Evel, but regarding something else, the Gemara says that's another command under the Gemara discusses Af Lamed Gimel. So if that's true, that they didn't travel, this is not describing where Har Grizim and Har Evel are, that they're in Shechem, and they're about 60 mil from where they are right now, so where did they go? They didn't travel at all. No. According to this, Har Grizim and Har Evel are not the same Har Grizim and Har Evel that are near Shechem. These were two artificial mountains that were near the Jordan, and they were used for this particular purpose, but it's not as our Mishnah describes the famous Har Grizim and Har Evel that we know of that are in Shechem. And then we don't have to say that miraculously they were able to travel this amount of time there and back, 60 mil all in one day. Either way, whether they traveled far or not, both of these opinions believe that the blessings and the curses, the Brachos Uklolos, were recited on that very day that they entered Eretz Canaan. However, Rabbi Shmuel's of the opinion in the Gemara that it's not true, that every mitzvah that Torah speaks about is all about entering Eretz Yisrael, and that means after conquering the land and after dividing the land. And therefore, the Brachos and Klolos were not pronounced until 14 years after they entered the land. Okay, so either way, the Mishnah then describes what happened. Shisha Shvatim Asu Alul Rosh HaGrizim. Six Shvatim went up to HaGrizim, that Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin. V'shisha shvatim olu l'rosh harevel. And 6 went up to harevel. Ruvain got Asher, Zvulun, Dan, and Naphtali. V'akohanim v'halevim v'haron omtim l'mata b'emsa. The Kohanim Levim and the Aron were below in the middle of the two mounds. V'akohanim makifin es ha'aron. The Kohanim surrounded the Aron v'halevim es ha'kohanim. They surrounded the Kohanim. V'chol Yisrael, mikan u'mikan. And the Jewish people were on either side, on either mound. As the pasuk says, v'chol Yisrael, uzikeinav, v'shotrav, v'shotav, omdim izeh, umizeh, la'aron. So, hold on 1 second. Where were the people exactly? Were they between the mountains or on the mountains? So, according to the pasuk in Devarim, it was Shevet Levi that was standing on a Har Gerizim. Yet in Sefer Yehoshua, we read that the Kohanim and the Levim were both groups that come from Shevet Levi were not on Har Gerizim, but they were in the valley between the two mountains. So the Gemara has different answers to this question on Daf Lamed Zayin. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds that only the Zikanim of the Kohanim and of the Levim were below, but the remainder of Shevet Levi went up to Har Gerizim. Rabbi Yoshia holds that those who were holding the Aron, between 30 and 50 years old, they were below, and the rest of the Shevet were on the mount. Okay, so then the Mishnah says, Hafchu feneim klape hagrizim. They turned their faces towards hagrizim, ufaschu babrocha, and began to bless. The Kohanim and Levim, who were below, whoever they were, that's a question which ones they were, but the ones who were below, they turned their faces to hagrizim and started with the blessings. And what do they say? Baruch ha'ish asher lo ya'aseh fesel u'masecha. Blessed are the person who doesn't make a graven or molten image. Ve'elu ve'elu olin amen. And what happened? Everybody would answer amen. Both as people standing on a Har Gerizim and those standing on a Har Eval would respond. And although the pasuk seems to say that the people on the mountains were standing there to bless and give these curses, it doesn't mean that the shvatim that were up there were pronouncing the blessings of the curses on those mountains. It was the levim who were below in the middle there in the valley, so they faced the shvatim on Har Gerizim, pronounced the brachos, then they turned their faces, the levim in the middle, towards Har Eifel and pronounced the curses. That's the way. And when we speak about the tribes responding. So this is the entire people are the ones who answer amen to the brachos and the klal. It wasn't just the shvatim who they were turning to that answered amen. All of the shvatim answered at that time. Now, if you look carefully in the Chumash, we only have a list of the klalos, Arur Ha'ish, etc. We don't have the brachos. But nonetheless, the Gemara Lav Daf Lamed Zayin learns that the curses were preceded by the brachos. So before you had all of those klalos, there were brachos. Not only that, the fact that it says bracha and klala in singular teaches us that they didn't list all brachos and then respond and then have and they didn't announce, proclaim all brachos and then pronounce all of the klalos, but rather it was one in one. First they gave a bracha, then a klala, then a bracha, then a klala. Then the Mishnah says, Hafku p'neim klape ha'reval, ufaschu ba'klala. And here's the pasuk, Arur ha'ish asher yaseh fesel u'masecha, ve'elu ve'elu again, onin amen, ad she'gormim brachos u'klalos. And until they finished, so they everyone answered amen until they were completed. V'acharkach hevihu es ha'avonim. Now the Mishnah is discussing that memorial, that was a stone memorial, which Hashem said that they had to construct on the day that they crossed the Yarden, and they were told to take very large stones to make a mizbeach on Har Eval, plaster them with lime, v'sato sambasid, and you're going to have a saffron, you're going to have a karbonos as well, you're going to have shlamim and olos, etc. You're going to eat the shlamim, and then you're going to inscribe the whole Torah on those stones so that everybody could understand the ba'er heitev, as the pasuk says. Now the command to build those stones, it's in Parshas Kisavo, but the specifics is only found in Sefer Yehoshua and Perek Dalet, where we're told a little bit more. How many stones, which were going to be 12 stones, and you should take them from the Yarden, and how many men should we have? Should I have one from each Shevet, and where should it be placed? Eventually, it's going to be in Gilgal. Not only that, the Pasuk Yeshua teaches us that the purpose of this memorial was that the future generations would know the miracle of what happened at the Yarden when they crossed with the Aron. Hashem dried up the waters there, and they should know that as well. Now, the Pesukim in Sefer Devarim, Ein Sefer Yoshua, the Gemara says on Daf Lamed Vav, they each have information that's not found in the other. We have to assume they're complementary. You put them all together, and then you have the full picture of what happened. So on the same day that they crossed the Yarden, which was the 10th of Nisan, they went to Har Eval. According to the way we explained it, according to our Mishnah, they traveled 60 mil, and they had the brachos and the klalos, and then they built a mizbeach from the stones, plastered them, inscribed the whole Torah, sacrificed on this Mizbeach. They ate and they drank and they celebrated, and then they came back to Gilgal on that same night, and that was the miracle in terms of their traveling. Mishnah continues, Uvanu es haMizbeach v'saduhu basid. That's what they did. They built this Mizbeach. They plastered it with lime. The kusful of es kol devei haTorah. They wrote the entire Torah. The order of what happened is a machlokas. Rabbi Shimon holds the stones were first plastered and then you wrote the Torah on them, on that plaster. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Torah was inscribed on the face of the stones, which was then covered with lime. How much of the Torah was written? Not clear. The Torah says, Kol Divrei HaTorah HaZos, and it also says in Yehoshua, Mishnei Toras Moshe. So Rav Sadia Gaon says it was a summary of the Taryag Mitzvos, and that was it. Radak agrees with that as well. The Rambam Rabbeinu B'chai say, no, they had to write every pasuk of the Chamish Lechem Shei Torah on the stones, and the Rambam says maybe they were the stones were very, very large. Maybe a miracle allowed space for all of that writing. And Tosis Yomtiv says that the you had to have room to be able to translate the whole Torah into 70 languages by Er Hetev to inscribe all different versions of the Torah so that people would be able to understand it. That's why it says it should be by Er Hetev. It should be where people are able to understand. Others say, and the Mefarshim and Yoshua say, no, maybe it's just the book of Devarim, because it says Mishnei Torah, and that's a reference to Sefer Devarim. Either way, the Mishnah then says, they wrote, V'kasvu alav es kol dvei haTorah b'shivim lashon, in 70 languages, shenema ba'er heitev. So this Torah was inscribed in the language and script of the 70 nations, so that everyone would be able to study the Torah. They would be able to do so. And people who said, I'm not studying the Torah, wouldn't have an excuse, because they could, because it was in every language. Then Menatlu es Avonim uvo v'lanu b'mkomon. Then they took the stones and came back to Gilgal on that very night. Perek Zayin Mishnah Vav. Birkas Kohanim Ketzad. How do we understand Birkas Kohanim? Birkas Kohanim, also the Mishnah is not asking, well, how do you know that it has to be done in Hebrew? That we know either because it says Ko Sivarchu, and Sivarchu speaks about a blessing, and Ela Ya'amdu Levarech is in the context of the Brachos Uklolos, just like we know the Brachos Uklolos have to be done in Lashon Kodesh because of the Gzeirah Shava Kol from Moshe from Har Sinai, so too the Brachos of Birkas Kohanim have to be done in Hebrew. And others say no, it's based on the fact that it says Ko Sivarchu, bless this way, the way it's written in the Chumash, in the Torah, which is in Hebrew, has to be done in Hebrew. But how would it be done? Rabbanina omim osa shalosh brachos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's Medina generally, or maybe means outside Yushalayim. So how would they do it? So they would be done as shalosh brachos. It would be done all three as three brachos. Uva Mikdash bracha achas. But in the Beis HaMikdash, it would be one bracha. What does that mean? So we know outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which is where we do Birkas Kohanim, we know that we separate them, and we say Amen after each and every one. In the Mikdash, it would be done all together without pause, and that's because in the Beis HaMikdash, you didn't answer Amen. That's what the Bar Tuna says here. If you say Ein Onin Amen BaMikdash, then Kan Shem Hefsek. So there's no Hefsek at all. The problem is that in Beis HaMikdash, they actually did respond something. They responded to brachos. So how could you say that should take even a longer amount of time? Why was there no break? So Tosfos on Daf Mem and Beis says the difference may be that Amen is what we usually say after each and every pasuk. So you needed time to pause. And therefore we separated the pesukim. Yirach Hashem v'yishmerecha and Yirach Hashem panav lecha v'chunecha yisteni yisav shem lecha yisem lecha shalom. But Baruch Shem k'vod ma'achsol is said in the middle. Why? Because when you hear Shema Hashem is when you say Baruch Shem, not at the end of a bracha. So when you hear Shema Hashem, you say Baruch Shem, so that wouldn't cause for any pause at all. Rambam believes that the end of all three psukim, people responded with Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min Ha'olam V'Yad Ha'olam in the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Mishnah continues like this: Uba Mikdash Omer Es Hashem Kichsav Ova Medina B'Kinuyo. When we speak about the Kohanim would bless Hashem, Yivarach Hashem Yishmerecha Yud Kei Vav Kei. So what would they say? So in the Beis HaMikdash, they would say the ineffable name. They would say the way it's written. They would pronounce it. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, we know that we don't pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei. Of course, with the vowels, we say the Shem Adnus, Aleph Dalu Nun and Yud, and that's the way we pronounce the name. Babidina Kohanim Nosim Misidem Keneged Kisvan. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohanim would do the bracha, so they would do the bracha with their arms, their hands, Keneged, equal to, parallel to their shoulders. Not above their shoulders, but obviously we know there's Nisir Kapayim, the lift of the hands, but it is done only keneged kitzveim, right? On the opposite their shoulders, not above uvan mikdash, but in the Beis HaMikdash where they use the shema meforash, and we know the shechina was above for their fingers or in the middle of their fingers. Agabe rashe, and there the kohanim would lift up their kapayim, this is kapayim above their heads. Chutzmi Kohen Gadol she'eno magbia es yadav l'mala min atzitz, except the Kohen Gadol would not lift up his hands above the tzitz which was on his forehead. This is derived, the fact that Kohanim would raise their hands, so we know that, we learn that from Aaron. It speaks about Aaron raising his hands. Vayisa Aaron es yadav elohom vayivarachem. So this is, we have this earlier in the Torah, and therefore we learn from there that nisiz kapayim should be done with raised hands as well. So then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Kohen Gadol Magbir Yadav El Malam Ratzitz. He believed the Kohen Gadol can lift up his hands above the Tzitz. Shnei Amar Vayisa Aaron Es Yadav Elohom Vayivarachem. What he's saying is, obviously, if Aaron lift up his hand, and Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, and that's where we derive the halach of lifting up your hands, it must be that it can be done even above the Tzitz, because it says Aaron lifted up his hands. We assume that since the Ikar Nesias Kapayim is through the Kohen Gadol, because we learn only from Aaron, Vayisa Aaron Es Yadav to everybody else, just like Mahu, and it says Hu Vanav Kolayamim Mahu Benisias Kapayim Af Banav Benisias Kapayim, and therefore everyone can lift up their hands above their heads, even Aaron himself.